Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
it's you living.
We all under attack,
it's you different.
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like how my pills said they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, mom.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
Yo, may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with rikers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah mubad. Assalamu alaikum and peace and salam to you all. Welcome everyone to another wonderful night and blessed day of Here We Are, Point of Impact. Yeah, the hottest underground podcast pumping. I mean, we keep it real. We have the real people here to talk about the real issues and come up with some real solutions and just remedy things. And it's all about positivity here. It's all about understanding here. It's all about conversing and having a dialogue in order to bring about change. You know, whether we agree or disagree, this is how reasoning is the motive and the means of bringing about change. So welcome everyone to another night of Point of Impact with your dear host, of course, myself, Mr. Hansford, Malai, Ben Hadj, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know me, Derek Hansford. I'm live. And with my wonderful, wonderful team, my co-host, Mother Queen, Krista Ellison. You hear, Ma?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening. And then, of course, the brother to the people, Hassan Shabazz. Raise your hands up and touch the sky. Stop playing.
Indeed, family. Peace and paradise. Peace and paradise to the unified family.
And to everyone, welcome. We have a wonderful, wonderful guest coming on tonight, a beautiful brother who I had the opportunity to meet in Fredericksburg at the Virginia Safety Coalition, and his name is Mr. Marcus Hodges. And I'm telling you now, this guy's prolific. He's definitely someone we can all who's, you know, to returning citizens, we definitely want to hear from this gentleman and his insight, and most importantly, his message. He's a wonderful man. I met him, and the minute I met him, his whole aura just captured me, you know. And so we're gonna speak with him tonight, and we're gonna learn some things about him. But before we begin, I just want to give a salute and condolences to any mother and father who have lost their child in these past weeks. And I pray that God comforts them, and most importantly, that Allah guides them on a straight path. And so let's keep these parents and these people in mind, because there's a lot of unnecessary violence going on in our community, and we definitely want to remember the people that are hurting, all right? So let's begin our show. Mr. Hodges, you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, no, it's an honor for you to be here. Thank you for allowing us to have you. I know you're a busy guy, so, you know, I'm going to let you get right to the point. You want to tell people a little bit about yourself and what you do and, you know, run down your itinerary, brother.
Yeah, we'll make it a little brief because, you know, I ain't all that. But my name is Marcus Hodges, currently Associate Director for our Federal Probation Agency in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Also worked 25 years at various levels in the Virginia Department of Corrections. And I also do a little consultant work in reference to criminal justice reform of how we can improve or actually revamp this whole entire system. I mean, so that's been my ploy from day one, coming out of Virginia Union in 1992. So I always say give big ups to them Panthers down in Richmond.
Okay.
And really trying to have dialogue and have conversations on how we can fix the system that we all know is broke. I don't care if you work in it or you're doing it. Everybody knows it. So what we're going to do about it to fix it, because it's doing too much harm.
Oh, wow. That's absolutely true there. So we're going to let you begin this. We're going to begin this conversation, this dialogue with, of course, y'all know Mother Queen. We always let the ladies go first. You know what I'm saying? Mother Queen, you want to speak to Mr. Hodges?
Yes. Good evening. How are you? One thing I can do is commend you all. We all have a hand in the fight, and we all are fighting diligently for the same situation, but the change is so slow. The change is not making a big enough impact where people are still so asleep. It's just like tiresome at times. But to see how many people are really got their hands and foot in it is amazing to see. But for me, I guess my question is, what would be your biggest pushback and the one thing you would like to overcome?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And so I answer it this way. You know, people say systems can't change, or the system takes years for systems to change. And I fell into that narrative. I mean, as working as a practitioner, you know, you try to do so many things to change things that you see that's so unfair. And it says, well, markets slow down, it takes time. And so the pandemic, and I saw so much change of how we operate in our system that happened at a twist. I mean, every correctional, community corrections facilities, everybody had to change so fast because of the pandemic.
Right.
And no one things happen so fast, and which blew me away, because for 20-some years, people told me things can't change that fast. And I'm like, hold up, we get a pandemic, and we get from Monday to Tuesday, which the whole narrative of saying things can't change is total BS. I don't think people want change. And so I'm this whole notion of criminal justice reform, I'm talking almost like a criminal justice revolution. We know what needs to be changed. We have the data to see how it affects brown and black people all throughout this country, all throughout the world. We know it does it, but we say it takes time. Well, I ain't got time. I mean, so my thing is, I think we need to start getting some wins, and we have gotten some wins on really changing this system. I would say do away with it, but I know that's not going to happen. So how can I change it and do it with my piece of it so we can cause less harm? Because we're causing a lot of harm to people, and we're causing harm to families. So I think my biggest impediment right now is telling that notion that we can change. And don't stop telling me that change takes time or change is slow, because I'm not buying that anymore.
Right.
Yeah, that I think which you know, and as a person who I definitely agree with you because I was behind the barbed wire. I was in the barbed wire city when the pandemic hit. And he's absolutely right. It was like instantly there were things put into place to create, you know what I'm saying, the type of environment of security and safety that they wanted to create. So, you know, when the urgency is there, people get to work. So, you know, maybe we need to continue to put more pressure to create more urgency. Hassan, you wanna try, sir?
Yes, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you for being here on the program. To hear you speak about, you know, a criminal justice revolution in a sense that looking at the system for it to change in a way that is going to actually promote the type of conditions that we seek out of the system is virtually slim to none at this particular point because the system has always been created in a way in which slavery was a sense of capital. And so
right.
When you deal with the 13th Amendment in itself, the idea that when we look at slavery by another name, which is imprisonment or incarceration or mass incarceration at this particular point in time, we see it as being a cash cow, right? And so the idea that people really want change is not that people out here don't want change, but the people who are in power do not want change, right? The people who are in power want it to remain the same. And so how do we, you know, as individuals and people who are out there who really may not know a lot about the criminal justice system, but understand that when you talk about JPEG, Keefe, GlobalTail, you're talking about multi-billion-dollar companies that benefit mm-hmm. off of us being incarcerated. So do they really want change? You know, and that's the question that I would like for you to expound upon a little bit more about, like, you know, do they really want change?
No. I mean, we live in a capitalist society, let's be real. I mean, and what your whole statement about the money that's being produced on people's back of correction, it's unbelievable. It's in billions. It's not even in millions. It's in the billions. It goes back mm-hmm. to slavery when we built this country. And what did we get mm-hmm. for building this country? I mean, it's the same thing that's going on. I mean, I give you a prime example. So we in our local jail, they give guys iPads that they pay for. All right, and now they can order DoorDash in the jail. The DoorDash, and so
wow.
This lady was complaining because she said, I'm spending almost $500 a month to provide comfort for my son in jail. So making sure that he can get a DoorDash because the food is god-awful, making sure that he can download a movie. So now this whole notion, people are making money off people's misfortune. But it's always been that way. And so we had to highlight that locally. Like, what are we doing? I mean, if we all trying to doing no harm and doing no harm to people, why are we causing making harm because we want to make money? And so my thing is we need to start continuing to highlight these practices because people have some aha moments, white, black, or indifferent, like, what are we doing? Are we making people mm-hmm. better or are we greedy, making money off people who are just in a bad situation, but I'm going to profit for them individually? And that came to light in a local news, Fredericksburg, and they got a lot of pushback for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to continue to tell these real stories of how people and companies are utilizing incarceration for a way to continue to make money. The telephone system, it took we knew that was wrong. We knew the cost of telephone system of what people are paying, that you can make a 10-cent call, but it'll cost people $10 and $15 a call. I mean, we got to get all that stuff out. So when it got called out to the right people, something was done. I mean, so my main thing is really when I say this whole notion about a revolution is really highlighting these bad practices that are not only harming black and brown people, it's hurting everybody that's incarcerated.
That's right. Yes, indeed.
You know, indeed. I'm glad a lot of people, when they first hear that word revolution, they think, you know, they think violence and they think, you know, disruption of health and wealth and security. And I know and understand it myself that surely the first thought of revolution, when I think of it, I apply it to myself, you know, in changing my heart so that I can change my condition. You know what I'm saying? Meeting you, I definitely understand, like, what it is that there's so many mechanisms in place. And there's so many mechanisms that we have to rectify in order for this to get into order. What do you believe is the greatest part of that change? Where do you believe it should all begin as far as the change coming into place with the revolution and how it should be pushed forward?
Well, I'll tell you this. So let me say it this way. I got off the word reform, and a good friend of mine, Charles Robbins, a good friend of mine, who spoke at a conference, and he gave this example. So I have a watch. It's a regular watch on my wrist, and my watch is broken. So I take the watch to the dealer to get it fixed, and when they get it fixed, their job is to restore it to what it was. Well, if you think justice of how it was created, we're talking about reforming a system that was never fair in the first place. So why are you taking it back to its original? So reform word doesn't get it from me, because what you're doing is taking it back to its original intent that was rooted in slavery or indentured servitude.
Yes, sir.
That's where it was rooted. So a revolution is a new way of thinking about our system so it can be more help people than harm people. And right now, it's just the opposite. We do more harm. We break down communities. We do a lot of things that hurt people instead of helping people. So that's, I want a whole evolution. I want to rethink this whole freaking system and get it right. Where it starts with me, everything is local. Sometimes we want to push to the state and really push to the federal government. But I know when that article came out in the paper up in here, Fredericksburg, it localized and people mobilized. So I think how you build community is really it's a grassroots, localized effort that can change. It takes time in that regard, but once that groundswell goes, it is huge. People forget President Barack Obama started a grassroots effort and became president of the United States. But people can't tell me grassroots effort. It's local, and it's the empowerment of local, because once you start getting into local politics and start trying to see the change there, then it can really evolve.
Yes, absolutely.
That was a
so
lot,
you,
I know,
you hear, no, that was right on point, because it is the grassroots organizations that, you know what I'm saying, need to be empowering one another and coming together. Now, that's one of the reasons why I got with Virginia Safety Coalition, because I felt like it was an opportunity for me to come together with brothers and sisters like yourself and figure out how we can move strategically together in order to impact one another's community to bring about these changes. Mother Queen, you want to speak?
I'm just listening to it all, and, you know, just me being on the outside, because I get it from the standpoint that I'm the woman. I represent the women who lost their men to incarceration. That's who I represent, right? So when I see the guys going through in prison and I hear how ways that we can, you know, grow past it, prevent it, and recover from it all, it's like we have to learn to support one another in these causes. And we have to make enough noise that other cities, surrounding cities, and states even know that we're going through what we're going through. A lot of times I think we see little tidbits on the news and little tidbits of what's going on, but we never hear the outcome of it. They let you cry for 15 minutes, and then they're on to something different, or they cover it up with another situation going on. They never really see it we never really see the outcome of every situation that we go through. So those are the things I think we need is support from, you know, our surrounding cities, and support from other states as well.
Ma'am, I can't agree with you more. I mean, I tell everybody, one of my everybody, and you all know this, Fred Hampton was a great grassroots organizer at a young age. You look, if you and I know you studied the work that he was doing in Chicago at his age, and that's why he was assassinated. It was fearful of him, because not only did he bring black whites, he brought people that would harm, who didn't have the economic capital to do it. He brought them all together, and that's what was so fearful about it. And that's the recipe. I mean, so for example, I know in D.C., where I work, you know, we do a lot of great things. But one thing that blew me away was, and this will make you laugh, we had some visitors in from Florida. Yeah, Governor DeSantis in Florida. And we were having a conversation about, and around the table, and we had nine returning citizens, people lived experience, sitting around the table, giving us thoughts and opinions on reentry and how we were doing in the D.C. And they were dumbfounded. And I don't know if they were scared. They probably were a little bit scared. But they were dumbfounded that they were, A, at the table, and, B, how articulate they spoke, and, C, how things got together. And I was like, we use this word collaboration way too loosely. If I want people, and I'm a collaborative guy, and it takes community, then every aspect of the community got to be there. And we end up creating a great place to help people. I don't have to have all the answers, nor should I. I ain't that guy, but I know people. And the more diverse people, we come with great solutions. D.C., as you all know, we're sitting on 192 homicides, and everybody's talking about looking to get tough on crime. And you go to every major urban area, they want to go back to this whole notion of mass incarceration. We ain't doing that. We're trying to do trauma-informed care. We're trying to give people different obstacles. We're really trying to do it differently, because we don't want that result of mass incarceration. It was a failed initiative, and we're still are in trouble in the hole because of that initiative. So how can we empower people, restore people, and do it in a collective way where every voice is at the table?
And that is an actual fact, because the mass incarceration that we are still experiencing at this very moment, that whole initiative has done nothing but destroy families and communities. And as we see, of course, it impacts the black and brown people the most, but also those of a persuaded color or of the Caucasian race. Those who are poor, they are very much impacted by this also. And a lot of times we forget that these targets of the poor and the less fortunate people are the people who suffer the gravest from these machines that they put in place to kind of, you know, manage our society for their own quota build. And these are the things that, you know, this is what we want to do on this show. We want to bring more people together to connect and understand the necessary need of coming together in collaboration and working together and having the mission and the goal established that everybody, you know, continues to have some significance and impact of people's lives in a beneficial way. Hassan, you want to speak towards that?
Yes, I would love to, man, because this is a really wonderful topic as it pertains to our struggle and what it looks like in this day and time as it pertains to different things that we see as far as racism, capitalism, all these different things go hand in hand with what we see today, which is the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And so now we're at a point where, you know, racism has turned to capitalism. Understand that in a capitalist society, the hierarchy is always built for the rich to get richer and the poor to get poorer. And eventually the middle class will be done away with. So the mass incarceration initiative was a part of the plot and the conspiracy to kill the black male. Why do they say that? Because they call us super predators in the 90s. Super predators. And so their idea was to eradicate this, right?
Right.
Please, people look into Margaret Thatcher and these other things that we need to be aware of when it comes to the society that we live in today, right? And we have to understand that the authors of the crime bill, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, the Clintons, they were all a part of that super predator initiative, which was Trooper Finneson and the Klan Bill. And that's what caused mass incarceration. And so people have to become educated upon what took place in politics so that they can understand their place and how they can affect change. Listen, all revolutions have not been violent revolutions. If you look at Kwame Nkrumah, you look at Ghana, right? They took over politically. So the idea that you have people in places that are willing to do the hard work of tearing down the system, literally from the inside, right? Let's be frank about it. Because if we're talking about reform, then we're only talking about shaping and forming it in another way. We're talking about true, if we're talking about true salvation and liberation, then we got to be talking about what? Abolishment.
Rectification.
Abolishment.
That's right.
Abolishment.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Rectification is what we need. Go ahead, brother.
You are right. As a practitioner, I'll be honest with you. I can go back, and as a practitioner, you get out of college and you go to a job, and I don't. Let me take this right now. I had good intentions, but I was working in the system, but I was ignorant too. I mean, so you get out and you get a job, and you're very ignorant, and then you start getting some wisdom, and it took me a minute. It took me a minute. I mean, because the narrative that they tell you, it's the narrative they tell you, and you believe that narrative, and then you have to educate yourself
right.
and realize that narrative was totally wrong. I can remember my first day
right.
working at Buckingham Correctional Center. We're on lockdown, and I walk up in there, and all I see are these black faces behind this little slit or window. First time I've been in a Mexican prison, and I'm like, what the? It's still fresh in my mind of what I saw. I never knew why I went back that day because it was the worst day I ever had in my life. But it was like I had this pulling to go back. And I always tell people I've been going back for the last almost 30-some years because I know I can make a difference in this system. Everything you just talked about is right on. I mean, and for a practitioner, at first when people told me abolish probation and parole supervision, I'm like, hold up, that's my livelihood. We're talking about abolish. I agree 100%.
Come on now.
Because what we're doing now is not working. Or it's working the way it's intended to work. And so in some circles, it's working the way it's intended to work. And in other systems, it's not working. But when it's not working, what are you doing to fix it to make it work? Because if not, then you're complicit. You're part of the freaking problem. And that's why I've learned the last 10 to 15 years of my career of really what things can I fix, what things can I tweak, who can I educate, who can I do that to do my part on the inside. Because at the end of the day, I've been doing this for a minute. And so I can show you where it's wrong. The beauty part that we've discovered is the strength in our collaboration. And I'm with you. I mean, look, I always tell people this. If I know the rules of the game, this has always been my saying, and I lose, it's on me. Once I know the rules, I'm gonna figure this thing out. And I think we're all to a point of all of us know the rules of this game. But if we come together, we can't lose. We will not.
No, we can't.
Coming together. Because they do a good job of hiding us and picking us off just when we get great momentum, and then we're starting over again. If we ever stay together constantly, this force is unstoppable. Well, we got to maintain.
That's right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Krista, go ahead and speak. Then we're going to bring a caller in. We got a caller.
Okay. Well, I was just going to elaborate on what Brother Hassan said about super predators. But if we're the super predators, then who's hunting us? And what are they using as bait to hunt?
Come on.
Is that they're using our livelihood. They're using they're putting stuff out here, the easy access to a come up that we think would be a come up, but to dangle a carrot over our heads, and then they're the ones that's hunting us and calling us the predators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. at this moment, thank you, sis. That was a hell of a beautiful point there. We got to call it. Hassan, we got to call it. I mean, excuse me, Jay Sean, we got to call it.
Yes, 7543 live.
How you doing? How you doing?
Peace.
Peace.
How are you?
Who's speaking? It's nice to hear all you gentlemen and ladies speaking. And my name is Dr. James. I just have a couple of questions. Now, I'm in no way am I trying to say this in an argumentative fashion, but mostly I'm trying to just get information, you know, basically. Now,
okay.
I noticed that, Hassan said that the incarceration is a form of slavery. Now, you know, it is just a dialogue. It's not no argument. I understand that. And I agree with you in certain situations. Now, if y'all look at the drug fentanyl, everybody's familiar with that drug. And you know that drug is basically, it's a poison. It's nothing more than a poison. And they're putting this in the heroin. They're putting it in the cocaine. They're putting it in everything. Now, are you familiar? I know you probably are familiar with the news that came out last week, where they were having the fentanyl in the baby's nursery, in the daycare with the babies.
Mm.
And one of the babies died, and they had to go to the hospital and all this because these people were making that poison in the nursery. Now, these are people of color, Hispanic or whatever, but some people need to go to jail. Now, don't you believe that those people doing that, making that fentanyl, pouring it on the mats where the babies play, don't you think they need to go to jail?
Mr. Hodges speak to that first.
And I will tell you something right now. Just because we're talking about this don't mean there's people who need to be in jail. And there's people who need to be in jail in prison, and there's people who need to stay in jail in prison. But ain't everybody. So I'm with you 100%. And fentanyl ain't no joke. We're dealing with fentanyl now where it's laced in weed, and we're having overdose and everything else. And that's another drug that we've got to deal with that I hope doesn't never get to the crap epidemic, but it has potential because it's more deadly. So I'm with you 100%. Everybody, when we talk about this whole notion of trying to evolve the criminal justice system, there are people who need to be in jail and prison, people need to stay there. I think we all can agree to that.
Yes. One of the things, if I may comment on that, what I would like people to understand, we're not suggesting that people should not be, incarcerated for criminal behaviors and crimes. What we're suggesting that when they are incarcerated, that it should not be a system deemed to obtain fruit of financial gain. You understand? Off the suffering of the people who these individuals have harmed, as well as the suffering of the people who are supporting and paying taxes for these people to be incarcerated. See, we get confused with justice and the service of justice with slavery. You understand what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times we miss the point of there's a difference between justice versus slavery. You understand what I'm saying? And the enslavement of a people is not something that should be implemented and then structured to make it seem to society that it's an act of justice. You understand? Mm-hmm. When you're making money off the backs of people who are impoverished, who are lacking of education, who are lacking of social and psychological issues, you know what I'm saying? These are things that the government feeds on. When you think about right now, the percentage of people that are incarcerated right now, a great percentage of them are people of mental health illnesses. They're not even people who are criminals. You understand what I'm saying? If we go right now and we research and look up the – and I can't give you the number right now, sadly. But if we go right now to research, but predominantly in the system right now, the system is now replaced mental health facilities with the prison system. So this is this is the type of things that we're talking about. And you, of course, anybody that has been a criminal or being criminal in activity to our society, criminalizing our community, yeah, these people need to be placed in a facility where they can be restrained from their practices. But the sad thing about that is that a majority of the people who are incarcerated for crimes of possession and distribution of drugs are people, man, who suffer from a great deal of economic education on how they can grow economically. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about fentanyl and you talk about guns coming in the community, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know any person in Huntersville that has who's selling fentanyl right now that has the power to transport fentanyl from Afghanistan all the way to Norfolk, Virginia. See, these are things that, you know, we got to be mindful of. And being community of those who participate in these actions, I agree 100% because I was one of those people. You know what I'm saying? But by the grace of God, I was enlightened, and I took heed. You know what I'm saying? And I decided to do something about my condition. You know, but that came through other people enlightening me, providing me with the education in order for me to understand the harm that I was not only doing to myself but others. So this is very important about, you know, bringing into the prison systems education, skills that men and women can attain when they get out so that they can go out and be productive in the corporate society, because that's what prison should be doing. It should be helping to replenish these people so that they can come out and be productive citizens. This is the point of prison. It should not be a place to where we producing financial gain off the suffering of the people who are committing the crimes, as well as the people who have the crimes have been committed against. Mother Queen, you wanted to say something?
I was just going to say, you know, to the gentleman who asked the question about shouldn't people who commit crimes go to prison, when I hear statements or slogans like preschool to prison pipeline, that already says that we already put in place things for preschoolers to act out in school. That must mean they must be putting it in our prenatal pills. They must be putting it in our whatever the vaccines that they're giving our children. How do you already deem a preschooler going to prison? So you already, whatever system that you already put in place, you already have raised our children. And you are our forefathers. So if you're the one that's raising us and we've become savages, doesn't our parenting come from you, the government? So we have to point the finger in the right direction, because the way you raise us, and you don't want us, and then say don't, you shouldn't act like that. You put these things in place. So we have to really dissect where the problem is coming from.
Yeah, indeed. So I think that the Queen makes a very, very valid point there. And to which I would say that, you know, they have a checklist that they go down, right? And the checklist says, no father in the home, check, right? No generational wealth, check, right? No single parent household, check, right? Father
no
incarcerated,
education, check.
Father incarcerated, check. No education, check. No one in the family have ever graduated from college, check. Yeah, all these different things provide a checklist that they can look down and say, if a baby is born into these conditions, then one day he will end up in prison. No matter no matter how hard you try to raise him correctly, the society and the streets and this world that we have put together has been designed to keep him in prison, to destroy any hopes of a black messiah, right? So you got to understand the plot and the project, the plan to destroy black boys, black children, right? The psychological development of the black child. Let's get into education, right? When you're talking about the system. And so for me, yeah, it's always about we really need to point the finger and then point it in the right direction so that we know something that's affecting us all. So that we can
mentorship.
Oh. Sure. Is this Mr. James? Dr. James?
One more. Yeah, it's Dr. James. Yeah. I understand everything that we're saying, but when someone is doing something, because see, no matter what society we have, if we have if we had our own country, we still would have to have laws, we still would have to have prisons, we still would have to have police, we still would have to have probation, we still would need that. Because if anyone is harming our community, you know what I mean, and our people, then we have to deal with it, right? We will never escape from that. Now, you can say, okay, there'll be different ways to handle different problems, and maybe they are. But we have to have some sort of system. Just like I used to work, I'm a podiatrist. I used to work in the prison. Up in New York and New Jersey, I was a podiatrist. I used to help clinics in the prisons. And like you said about mental health, and I always said a large percentage of the people in the prisons, in the state prisons, have mental health problems. I know that. But what the state is going to tell you is they can get their mental health care in the jails because the psychiatrist comes to the prison and he holds a clinic in the prison, like I used to hold a clinic for podiatry in the prison. So they're going to tell you that they are getting mental health treatment in the prison. Now, should they be in a mental institution? I don't know. Sometimes mental institutions are worse than the prisons. You know what I mean? So
Thank you, Dr. James. Yeah, I appreciate your comments, and most importantly, I appreciate your dialogue. And Jay Sean, do we have any other caller?
Not at this time.
Okay, and let me to all of those who are listening, and to our guests and everything. You know, a lot of times I would really like for people to take into consideration the factors of you have countries who are in Europe right now who don't incarcerate their people longer than 10 years. And when they release them from the facilities, they provide them with housing, they provide them with economic means, they provide them with social aid, all types of things, okay? When our people get released from prison here after doing 30, 40, 20 years, they're coming out, they're met with barriers, they can't get jobs, they may attain certain certifications that they can't even apply out here because they will tell them that the certification is not applicable in society, okay? They're met with the it's over 4,600. How many barriers, Hassan?
Yeah, 47,000 barriers.
47,000 barriers, which prevent these returning citizens from attaining proper employment. So at the end of the day, a dog into the corner, the dog is going to begin to fight back with what he know best, and that's the bite, whatever hand is reaching for. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, I just like people, you know, I'm for you know, removal of crime. That's not what we're not here discussing the issue of, you know, whether people should be incarcerated for doing crimes. No, that's not the topic. The topic is the egregious crimes that are happening to people who are committing crimes. You can't have a judicial system that enacts criminal behavior to the people who are they proclaiming to be criminal. You see what I'm
right.
saying? And a lot of we seem to get away from that. That we have a judicial mm-hmm. system which is illegally incarcerating people.
That's
and
right.
they're not being brought before any administrative judicial admonishment. They're given immunity. We see
right.
it with our judges. We see it with our prosecutors. We see it with the attorneys. We see it with the police who patrol our streets. I mean, they're destroying people's lives, and everybody's saying, okay, but he was a criminal. So the individual who just sent this man to prison for 40 years based on evidence that was circumstantial or evidence that was not provided is okay. When we find out that this person you had incarcerated for 40, 30, 50 years didn't do the crime, so you shouldn't go to prison after you destroyed this person's life knowingly?
Mm.
See, these are the issues we're talking about. These are the things, and I'm hoping I'm being direct to where people can understand what the argument is. The argument
mm-hmm.
is not about, you know, not having a prison system or not having laws in place to bring about a civil society. That's not the issue. That's not the argument.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand? Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, Malai, they've done that pretty well. Right? If you really want to measure the system in a way where people say that they talk about change, America has over 2.3 million people incarcerated. So the famed Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky said that if you want to judge a society, then you must look into its prisons.
Mm.
If you want to see the civilization of a society, look into its prisons. And so we're talking about system change. We're talking about ultimate change because the fact that they've been locking up people, they've been locking up people. They do that well. They'll lock you up quick and throw away the key. And throw away the key.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're right. That is not the issue. The issue is not that they ain't we don't need to be locking up people. Yet, people who commit crimes that are egregious enough against the society that they live in, that they must do some time. If you reap what you sow, right? So if you commit
mm-hmm.
an act, then you have to live with that. And we're not talking about that aspect of justice. We're talking about the injustice that lives inside of a so-called justice system. And that's the problem, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. Mr. Hodges, you want
the last thing I want to say is to Mr. James is how do you want these men and women to come home? That's the biggest question. Do you want them to come home whole or do you want them to come home not learning anything, not getting anything, not being able to reverse the curse that was bestowed upon them, right? So how do you want them to come home is the ultimate question, because if I go in broken and you don't give me nothing and you continue to break me down and you continue to not feed me anything mentally, physically, spiritually, how do you think I'm coming home?
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what, both of you are powerful things. I'm going to tell you what. The whole notion of injustice within the justice system is right on. And then you talk about reentry. And so what you're really talking about, yeah, how can you prepare people to come home when you come home, the wall is so high and everything is stacked
mm-hmm.
up against you. It ain't made for success. It's made for the revolving door. It's designed for the revolving door, because if it was made for success, it would have been built for success as soon as you walked in the door. Exactly. And then when you leave, vocational training. I mean, the stupidest thing ever for me was we had people get barber's license. We get a barber, get a barber school. You go cut, learn to cut hair. And then you get out, and the state wouldn't give you a license because you were a felon. What?
Come on.
That's stupid. Or I can't pay child support, so I'm going to freaking take your driver's license away. And for what? Because now I can't drive to my job to try to do it. So there are laws that are passed to do what their intent is. Let's be real. We know what the intent is. It's to keep the door revolving.
That's right.
We talked about reentry, but if reentry was a serious commitment, then the barriers that get in the way for reentry wouldn't exist. People would come up with better housing, better jobs, vocational training, all the things, or the skills that they have acquired while they're incarcerated can come up with a job making a living wage. I mean,
that's
the stuff. So when you go back to injustice and justice, you are 100% correct.
Wow. And that's what we're here talking about, Dr. James. And I'm going to share with you all, and then we're going to let Mr. Hodges close out of his final words. But I have a client who at this present moment was released from jail. She was placed in jail for 2 months for child support. Okay, though she already has two of her children, one of her children is with the father, and because that child who is with the father, receives Medicaid some type of medical assistance. I believe, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they incarcerated her for not being able to maintain her child support. Then when they release her 2 months later, guess what? She lost her apartment where she was housing her and her two other children. Okay? She's lost her job. She has nothing to bounce back on. You know, and the sad thing about it is that these are the conditions that people who go into prison broken come back out to. And that's, and Krista, you made a very, very, you know, when you talk about healing people, when you talk about aiding people, you know, hurt people hurt people, healing people heal people. So when you're putting people in a position to aid them to heal, they're more likely to come out and aid others to heal. You see, but when we're putting people in a position where they're coming in hurt and we're continuously hurting them, you know, and pushing them further back, we're pushing them in that corner to become that dog that's going to bite any hand that reaches out to feed them. You see, and these are the things that we're not really thinking about when we're talking about, you know, imprisoning people who are criminals. And let me just be clear with you. Please do some serious study, ladies and gentlemen. But most violent crimes are not premeditated. Majority of violent crimes of murder, of shootings and things of this nature, they're crimes of spontaneous crimes. They're crimes that people just spontaneously act out on due to, you know, the emotions overcoming them and things of this nature. So just pay attention, and you'll realize, you know, and I don't have time to just give you a point of my own situation, but I was a young man who went to prison for 25 years, who served 25 years, and I was given a sentence of 50 years with 30 years to do for a crime that I had no weapon, no assault, no trauma to the victim. But yet I had a life sentence. I had a life sentence. Then we have here, and yet my crime was grand larceny. But yet I went to prison, and was given a sentence of 50 years with 30 years to do, and I served 25 years of it before somebody decided to do the right thing and rectify and get me out of it. So this is just one individual case of the many, many, many outstanding cases that are going on here in the United States, all over this country, that we have to give attention to. And I hate that word reform, too, not to shoot any shots at my people with Virginia, with, Virginia Reform in the Safety Coalition.
Me neither.
But,
me neither.
You know, I believe more in rectification. Rectification is what we need, and I definitely agree with the abolishment of parole for a person when they get out of prison. They done served 20, 30, 40 years, 10 years in prison. You telling them now they're going to be on parole for another 30 years, probation for 30 years. I mean, and not only do they deny people license, you can go to school in prison for a correspondence course, get your degrees, and come out here and then be told the job that you're going to apply for mental health and things like that, that you can't be hired because you're a felon. But yet you're certified. You can get a PRS in the state of Virginia for certification of peer recovery specialist, but yet you won't be able to attain a job in that field, in that occupation. See, and these are the things that get in the way of the people progressing, which causes a lot of people, and this is not an excuse, but it's a reality, which causes a lot of people who have not yet attained that esteem to fall back on their heels because they get frustrated. They get impatient. They get anxiety. You know, they're watching their lives spiral out of control and their families are, going out of control because they're not able to be the men and women that they desire to be to provide, maintain, and protect their families. So they result to what? To doing things that are harmful. So with that, we're gonna get ready to get out of here, y'all. Mr. Hodges, is there any final words you want to give us to leave with?
Hey, look, first of all, thank y'all. I am honored that you thought of me to be to do this conversation with you all. It was a pleasure. And we got a hill to climb, but I continue to be optimistic. I mean, and so we will continue to do this work despite the narrative, despite the defeats we have. We gonna continue to do this work because I do think we'll get there. We'll get there. And
yes, sir.
So I'm willing to work with anybody, collaborate to get there. But I'm honored. I thought the conversation dialogue was outstanding. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm going to let Mother Queen speak to you first in closing, Mother Queen.
You know, I second that, you know, that it starts with the conversation, and, you know, a lot of times we have people who say that they've been a good citizen who's never committed a crime or who never got caught committing a crime. Those are the ones that need to be awakened to what's really going on for those who does not always walk the straight and narrow path, to see how crooked the system really is. So, so we must come together, good and bad, and change the system so that we can thrive. Because had they approached us from the very beginning, before slavery, and worked with us from the beginning, shame on them for not building a great relationship with us and using us for their good. Now it is backfiring. You know, we have to set things in motion to reverse that curse. So.
All right. And Hassan?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I just want to thank you for coming on the program tonight. It's been wonderful and refreshing to know that you have the history that you have within the system and that someone of your caliber with the mind that you have for a different revolution, right, as it pertains to criminal justice and what's needed within the system, to have someone of your caliber with your experience, it goes a long way when it comes down to speaking the politics of the matter. And so
that's
we
right.
Most definitely want to invite you out to Richmond, to the People's Tribunal on Virginia Prisons and Jails at the Richmond Center in October. And we're inviting everybody else out there as well. And we're going to be posting the date, the time, and everything on our social websites and also here on Point of Impact. So everybody stay tuned, but we're inviting you out. So we want you out there because we need people with your experience there.
Thanks for the invite. Yes. And if my life was should, we talked about it early on. I will be there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so
the People's Tribunal, for those, it will be taking place October the 7th in Richmond. And just look on your, please check your social network. You can see us on my page, my Facebook page, Instagram, Hassan. The Defenders will be placing it on their page. So it will be, it's really up there now. I actually seen the flyer up there the other day. So please pay attention to that. And also, I just want to thank you, Mr. Hodges, man, for giving me this opportunity, giving me and my team this opportunity to dialogue with you. I think of you as a very enriched man with knowledge that we all need in your experience. We all need in order to bring about rectification of these issues that we're addressing with criminal justice. And we're here to support you, brother, in any way that you need us. You know, just reach out to us. We will be there for you and in any form or fashion that we can. I've got to tell you, Point of Impact and Community United Focus and Freedom Over Everything, man, we all are here for your support, to give you the support necessary for you to succeed and move this revolution in the path that it needs to be. And may God guide us all upon a straight path. But I thank you so much, brother. You don't know how honored I am to have you on this show. And I can't wait for you to join us December the 15th, everyone, excuse me, December the 15th in Norfolk, Virginia, Virginia Beach, Virginia, at 80/20 Juice Bar at 5725 Northampton Boulevard. We will be there on December the 15th from 7 o'clock to 9:30. It's the Night of Recognition, Point of Impact, Night of Recognition fundraising. Listen, come out and enjoy us. We're going to have a art expo also available, and all proceeds that are brought for the art will go also to the fundraising so that we can continue to do the work that we're doing in the community, assisting the people who are in most need of our assistance. So please contact us, man, and be there. Be present, you know, so that you can meet people like Mr. Hodges. And Mr. Hodges can meet people like yourself. So we're really, you know, looking forward to everybody joining us. And we're going to get out of here. This is our time. We've got to go. But remember, we're here every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Every Sunday night. And join us with our guests. Next week, we're hoping to have a young man on by the name of Ahmed Shah. Ahmed Shah has just returned home. He's diligently been working with reentry while he was incarcerated. So join us, and we hope to have him on, be it the will of God, to share with us his story and his passion to aid and help others who are misfortunate. So with that, we're going to close. And everyone, Jay Sean, you got any final words you want to give, brother?
LaToya sent her love, and I spoke with Miles yesterday on another podcast. He's doing better, but he's still in the hospital. And
okay.
No, just enough. This is a good show. That's all.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So everyone, please at this moment, take the time, man. Right now, stop what you're doing, man. Stop what you're doing and do something, man, that will benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter, and that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community, your locality. Everyone, please be safe. And remember, man, the battle itself must be won before the war against another can begin. We out, y'all. Point of Impact. Everybody be safe. Salam. Peace.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I really do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do, I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do, I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do, I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip, and start out with a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick can sink a ship. Thinking with your head before you get a shot of one. Remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. At 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're a lover, homie, lover, friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. So get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you, I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.